The OTB Podcast Network with Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural protein-powered chicken bites.
Alan Quinlan, good morning to you.
Morning, lads. How are you?
Good. We couldn't have wished for a better semi-final pairing, assuming the game goes ahead somewhere in the world. But Ronan O'Gara versus Leinster, it's got a little bit of spice to it.
Yeah, it sure has. I think I was kind of hoping it wouldn't happen until a final, but they've been drawn against each other now. And of course, it's on in France. But that's what everyone will be talking about in the next few weeks. It won't be La Rochelle against Leinster. It will be Ronan O'Gara against Leinster. And of course, John O'Gibbs as well, who knows Leinster inside out. He was there for 6 years as an assistant coach as well. So there's a real kind of added spice to that, that fixture.
Let's talk a little bit about Leinster first. When they went 14-0 down, did you have confidence they were going to be able to dig it out?
Yeah, I think so. Obviously, it was a shock. It was a shock to anyone that was watching. I suppose Leinster didn't seem like they panicked in any way, and they probably showed that, you know, they've plenty of composure and confidence in the team to come back. There were two soft tries, really. O'Flaherty did really well, I suppose, to score them, but hammer blows, and not many teams can react in a positive way like Leinster did, you know, after 8 minutes being 14-0 down. So I just think the way they played after that was unbelievable. The confidence and composure that they showed, and, you know, Ross Byrne coming on was hugely impressive as well. That was another blow to him with Johnny Sexton going off, but I think it was vital that they reacted. Sometimes it's just not about the scoreboard. I know it can frustrate you if you can't score, but it was the way they played after being 14-0 down, the tempo and the pace. And they just keep banging away. And if you slip off tackles or if you get a bit soft in certain areas, they take advantage of that. And that's what they did very, very impressively on Saturday.
So notwithstanding there were some defensive issues in that first 8 minutes, what allowed them back into the game? What is it about the quality of play and their philosophy and how they execute that philosophy that makes them capable of giving the European champions a 14-point lead and still winning?
Well, you mentioned the word execute. I think it's obviously if you can hold on to the ball for long periods of time, and Rob Baxter spoke afterwards, which it's easier said than done when he talks about frustrations and maybe Exeter getting a little bit soft in the tackle areas themselves. But it's just the tempo that Leinster could play with. And at no stage did I feel... I think when James Lowe gets a try, that's it. It's game on again. They needed to score that try at that stage and get themselves back into the game. That was 17 minutes he scored that. So I think that was the one that kind of settled them and really, really give them the confidence and belief that if they hold on to the ball for a long period. So I think it's just down to their overall game, their scrum, their line-out. They got them all going. The ball was quick for Luke McGrath. And when they get quick ball like that, they can be devastating. And, you know, with the... Hugo Keenan did very well to run between the two defenders, get the little offload to James Lowe. When he gets that try, you know, you're sprinting back down the field and you're ready to go again. It took him... you know, 10 or 11 minutes to get the Jordan Larmour try to in the corner to get their second try. But that was brilliantly executed as well. The way they held the players midfield, the lines are running. And so it's just overall tempo, pace and execution, like you said. They don't make many mistakes and they look like a team that just could change gears and go on to the next level. And when they do that and they do that well, there's very few teams can stop them, because you just can't get the ball back. They don't allow turnovers. Their breakdown is really good, and that accuracy of passing is superb. So it was, and then just overall, I think their overall game, like, they're not a team who have incredible X factor players who can just do something out of nothing. It's just the work rate of the whole team and the cohesion of the whole team. When they're on song, they're incredibly impressive, and that's what they did. And, you know, I know Exeter, I think you always say, and I say this in commentary, and I know this as a player, if you know, after being in such a great position, Exeter going 14-0 up and then suddenly being 20-14 down at half time, you're kind of thinking, what's the psychology there? What's going on in your head? Can you get back in? And then they scored a try after half time and it's game on again. The momentum has shifted a little bit, but I thought it was going to be much closer then, but Leinster controlled most of that second half very, very comfortably.
Quinny, just to talk about one of the players you mentioned there a couple of minutes ago, Hugo Keenan, and his role in Jordan Larmour's try. I thought it was really interesting at the time. If we look back at the Ireland-France game at the start of the Six Nations, and James Lowe had that opportunity in the corner in the first half, and we were criticising Hugo Keenan for not throwing that pass early enough. And then you look at last Saturday in the game against Exeter, when he held on to it for as long as he could, right up until that last second, and got it out to Jordan Larmour. And that really was the difference between a try being scored and a try being held up. Like, it just shows to, it shows you how much a guy like Hugo Keenan has been learning over the last couple of months and how much he's taken on, even those small little things.
Yeah, it's the balance. And I think he did really well to hold on to the ball and not ship it on to James Lowe for the first try. Went between the two defenders and got that offload, Neil. And the timing of that pass was brilliant, because he was just about to be tackled before he passed the Larmour. And as you say, he gets it right. I think he's a very intelligent rugby player. And the one against France was tricky, I think, when you look back at it. Small little bit of timing off there, but he got his timing right on Saturday. You know, it was Stuart Hogg was in two minds. He stepped in, couldn't get back out to Larmour. And I just thought the decision there to give the pass on Saturday when he did to Larmour was brilliant. It was a superbly executed try. But the pass from Ross Byrne was brilliant as well. When you put the ball out and play in front of players running at full tilts, and they were kind of going across the field, which you try and tell if you're coaching kids, don't do that. But they executed that brilliantly. And he was superb, Hugo Keenan. I think his balance, his decision making. Of course, there'll be a bit of frustration with the first try. There was a couple of Leinster players, including himself, should have made that tackle on O'Flaherty, but he was brilliant on Saturday.
And Ross Byrne then, like, have we completely underappreciated him in the last year or so? Because he's had to do it a few times now, come on early for Johnny Sexton in big games, and we would have criticised him for not coming up to the line enough, you know, not holding on to the ball long enough, but he did all of those things on Saturday.
Yeah, he did. He's got to do it for Ireland. That's how he stops that talk, you know. I think he's showed on numerous occasions that, you know, he's talented enough, he has the quality. But there is a difference with respect to anyone who'd make the argument that he should be starting for Ireland when Sexton's not there. I think he's had a few opportunities, and I wouldn't say it hasn't happened for him, because, you know, the easy thing is to blame the fly half when the whole team is not functioning. And, you know, a couple of those games were against England, who were on song at the time. So he just needs to believe in himself and kick on, and hopefully he'll get more chances from his point of view with Ireland, and that he can do that with Ireland. But they play a bit differently. You know, it's down to the coaching and the game plan and the way Leinster play. You know, he seems to be full of confidence and belief. And even though he's behind Sexton when he comes on, he doesn't let them down. He kicks his penalties. He kicks his conversions from the touchline. Makes good decisions, and but it was good front football. You know, you mightn't get the same space time at international level. Can he do it? Of course he can, but he's got to kick on now and really believe in himself. And a game like that on Saturday, coming off the bench and performing like he did, will do his confidence the world of good, and his belief.
Yeah, it had the bang of Johnny Sexton coming on for Felipe Contepomi against you guys all those years ago. It was just like a calmness about him coming on, but making big kicks early on. And the pass for the try, I know it's penalty advantage, so you can take a little bit of a risk, but it was still unbelievable level of execution, which at a like key moment in the game, which defines the winning or losing of it ultimately. So, you know, he was willing to take big risks as well. I just want to talk about this coaching, because the quality of the play, when you consider the players who are missing from Leinster's perspective, like Caelan Doris is gone, and not an afterthought, but the absence of him from the team is not noticeable. James Ryan, who is supposed to be, you know, the Lions' starting second row, and like potentially if he'd played all these games, would be in the discussion around potential Lions captain, not in the team, and they've still gone and won this game from 14-0 down. And there's a couple of other players as well, Will Connors, a few others who are missing. That speaks to me of obviously strength and depth, but the quality of coaching, that everybody knows what their job is, and Ross Byrne coming in and stepping into the number 10 role, and the team doesn't miss a beat around him. There's no sense of, oh geez, we're going to have to somehow change our game plan. So what is it about Stuart Lancaster and, in fairness, Leo Cullen, that they've built there that allows them to come through scenarios like the one at the weekend?
What allows them to come through it, Ger, is quality of player, loads of depth. You mentioned the players that are injured, but an ability to, you know, to work on game plans and structures for a long period of time and implement stuff because you've so much time. It's the mitigation that you give to international coaches, not just in Ireland, it's a very short window. And you think it'd be probably more sensible for Ireland to play the same way as Leinster, because the vast majority of the players are Leinster players. But it's not always the case. And, you know, different coaches do things differently. International games can be a little bit different, particularly the Six Nations, because it's kind of cup rugby and there's a real sense of make no mistakes, play in your own half and don't take too many chances. Leinster still kick the ball a lot, but I think it's their accuracy and that cohesion of training and being around each other all the time. I would probably ask there's not a huge difference in what Ireland are trying to do and what Leinster do, but I think they can implement it really, and it's just different players, different personnel, and it comes down to, you know, the Leinster forwards, the way they delivered the ball. Luke McGrath, you know, he's brilliant against Munster a few weeks ago. He was brilliant again at the weekend. I think he's very underestimated. The quality, the pace, the box kicking even that he can deliver. So it's you probably have to get O'Gara on to talk about the coaching philosophies. I'm not a rugby coach, but I think I would think it's a little bit more difficult to... but maybe it's more sensible then if they haven't got the time to try and just play similar to Leinster and play that way. But I just think the overall tempo that Leinster can play with and the intensity they've brought, and they looked... The question I had going into that game was, would the week off hinder them or be an advantage to them? And they looked so fresh, they looked fit, and they looked like they were on it after conceding those two tries, which, as I said, not many teams can cope with something like that.
Let's talk a bit about La Rochelle then. The quality of work that has gone into making that team be one of the best in France and now one of the best in Europe is a huge testimony to the force of O'Gara's rugby brain, but also his personality to get those players playing in that style. And I think the rest of Europe is kind of waking up to this now. So his coaching stock has literally never been higher.
Yeah, what impressed me most, I think, was aside from the tries they scored and the way they played in the second half, was their work rate. That's something we always kind of... And it will probably always happen with French teams. When you get into multi-phase, will they get a little bit lazy? Will they keep that drive, desire going? And I know from speaking to Rog, and I know the way he views work rate and the way he wants his team and players. He was like that as a player. I think it was non-negotiable that the work rate is through the roof, no matter what, with the ball, without the ball. And, you know, they're very, very talented side. They have a lot of game breakers. Someone like Botti and the centre probably had a quiet game at the weekend, didn't have a huge influence in the game. But Raymond Rule, the South African winger who came from Grenoble, he was scintillating. Lades on the other wing was brilliant as well. I think the problem they may have is at 10, Ihea West. He's a good footballer, but it's the place kicking. And I said this in commentary on Saturday, you know, if they get into a tight game and they're missing kicks, it could be an issue for him. But he's a very confident player. They're a very good side. Kerr Barlow at scrum half, he's robust, he's strong. He's played for the All Blacks a lot. But their forward pack was most impressive, their scrum. And someone like Skelton in the second row, you know, he's probably going to be talking to La Rochelle players about, you know, the Saracens team he played in the final in 2019 and how they beat Leinster. They'll know what they have to do. It's about doing that in a semi-final. Their back row is superb. When Victor Vito is on it, he's a fantastic player. Had a brilliant offload for their first try. Gordon and Aldred, of course, in the back row as well. So that's kind of intriguing. It's for La Rochelle, it's going to be about can they get that physicality and power going up front that can stop the flow of Leinster, because I think Leinster's back line will be better. They'll have more experience and a bit more quality in the back line. They have a couple of players, like I said, in Rule and Leeds, who can finish things off. And Doolan, their back three is very good. But the midfield, it's advantage Leinster. 10, 12, 13, it'll be advantage Leinster, I think. So it's going to come down to what happens up front. And, you know, it'll be intriguing. You know, they have a couple of weeks now, 3 weeks to prepare each other's teams. You know, John O'Gibbs is there as well. And how can Ronan O'Gara's La Rochelle, you know, get to that level of that kind of pain threshold that you feel when you're out in the field, that Leinster seem to be comfortable at that level.
And Quinny, before we let you go, I don't know, did you get to see much of Ulster on Saturday evening beating Northampton in the Challenge Cup? They're in a position now, I know, away to another Premiership team against Leicester in the semi-final, but they're in a brilliant position now to get some kind of silverware, which, given the kind of trajectory Dan McFarland has brought them over the last couple of years, brings them right up towards the top again.
Yeah, it does. It was a brilliant win for them. I think being 8 points down at half time and, you know, the couple of tries they conceded, again, psychologically, what kind of an effect it had on them. They believed in themselves and I thought they were brilliant. Their overall game. And the one question mark, and Ulster fans will know this themselves, is up front. Can they deliver up front? They got two pushover tries from two Maul tries. That's a real statement of intent. And I think the way their forwards played, the aggression they brought and the way they stood up to that Northampton pack was very, very impressive. It's tough for them now that they're away to Leicester and that's the luck of the draw. But I think they're in a great position now. You know, the Stockdale try at the end, the reaction of the team, they look to be in a good place at the moment. And it's really down to Ulster. It's just having that bit of doggedness, because they have a lot of quality players. And if they can get that ball to, you know, to their quality players and move the ball around, they're a handful for anyone. But it's up front. And that's the challenge, going to Leicester, going to Welford Road. If their forwards deliver, they're in with a great chance of getting to a final.
Alan, good stuff. We'll leave it there. Thanks a million for joining us. Cheers.
Cheers, lads.
It's Alan Quinlan giving us his thoughts on the weekend's rugby. If you've got anything that you'd like to share with us, 0879 180 180 is the WhatsApp number. OTBAM is live in association with Gillette. Good morning. Start with Gillette, giving you the confidence to tackle the day ahead. It is a minute past eight.
The OTB Podcast Network, with Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural, protein-powered chicken bites.